My thoughts this morning are based on three sources. Like a trained minister, I have a Bible text. It is the last chapter of Deuteronomy, what's known as the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament, the basis for Jewish understanding of where they came from and who they are. And it's about Moses, who has led the people through the desert for 40 years. Now, 40 years is not four 24-hour periods. It's Bible shorthand. 40 years or 40 days and 40 nights means for a long, long time. So they'd been out there for a long, long time. Now, 40 years is appropriate because it gave a chance for all those people who were slaves in Egypt, who were brought out through all the signs and plagues and all of that in the earlier story, and who crossed the Sea of Reeds or the Red Sea through a miracle, and then had to wander being fed in the wilderness for all the remaining time. That kind of let that generation pass. And the new generation, who didn't know all that, had come to the edge of the promised land after all that traveling, all that travail, all that struggle. Here they were. Now, Moses was about 120 years old at that point, it says, and you know, you age quite fast when you're doing all this kind of stuff. And Moses wasn't going to get to go in there. His job was done. He was helping the seekers find the promised land. But he didn't have to go in there. And this was the final address he gave to the people of Israel in Deuteronomy 30. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying and holding fast, for that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors. I think of what Pam was talking about last week on Memorial Sunday, about how we stand on the shoulders of those who came before. Moses is saying something very similar. A second quote is from my favorite poet, Robert Frost. And there's two of his that I particularly like. One is Stopping by the Woods on a Snowy Evening, and that doesn't really seem appropriate for today. So I'll go with the other one, The Road Not Taken, where he's walking through a woods, which lots of people like to do around here, comes to a place where the road splits and hasn't been that way before, so is not quite sure which option to take, and they looked pretty much the same. You really couldn't tell just by looking at them. And so, after thinking about it for a little while, poetically, Frost goes and says, two roads diverged in a woods, and I took the one less traveled by, and that's made all the difference. My third text, I also need to give a little bit of background for this one. April 26th, My home internet was disconnected so I could switch carriers and get better reception. When the new installer came the next day, we discovered that the phone line from my house had been the problem. And a new line had to be installed, which meant digging a trench under Bell Street to get to the connector point on the other side of the road. Now, Claudia and I go to the library every day to reboot our computers and to read our emails and to, you know, see all that kind of stuff. We don't get to watch baseball games, which we love to do. Instead, we've been watching DVDs and videos. Most recently, the Harry Potter series. In episode 2, Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, where he has his first encounter with his nemesis, Voldemort, right toward the end, Professor Dumbledore is reassuring Harry that even though he shares some of Tom Riddle's traits, he doesn't have to use them as Voldemort did. It's our choices, Harry, he says, that show what we truly are, far more than our abilities. It's our choices that show what we truly are, more than our abilities. For me, this means that I learn to grow as I let go and move forward with God. I don't use the word God a whole lot because you get into these pronoun problems, he or she or it or whatever. I like to say Spirit because that's what Jesus said. I may be leaving, but I'm going to bring you Spirit who will bring to your remembrance all that I have shown you and motivate you to keep going. I learn to grow as I let go and move forward with Spirit. This was brought home to me in a deeply existential way when I became a full-time caregiver in November 2020 to my dear friend Cara, who had suffered a stroke. For the next year and a half, my life was devoted essentially to caring for her until she could be reunited with her family. It took everything I had to do this. Anybody who's been a caregiver knows what I'm talking about. Physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. It was the hardest thing I've ever done. And one of the most deeply rewarding experiences I've ever had. As Pam mentioned, I think it was 2 weeks ago, the essence of unity's theology is very simple. We are spiritual beings having an earthly experience for a divine reason. And that experience for me put that essence, as it were, at the heart of how I live and act and seek to react in the world. And it all began with letting go. I learn and grow as I let go and move forward with Spirit. And life gives us a sequence of events to teach us to let go. As toddlers, we let go of an adult's hands to take our first step. As children, we let go of the security of our parents' care to go to school. Finally, we leave our family home and live on our own. Each experience of letting go gives us an opportunity to grow in confidence. And if we are lucky, wisdom. As life progresses, we learn to release those feelings and memories that don't benefit us. If we find it difficult to let go, we remember times we said goodbye to difficulties and receive something better in the long run. And what I'm learning, present tense, what I'm learning is that tethering my life to the way I've always thought does not serve me well. Instead, these days, I'm thinking of my life like a ride in a hot air balloon. I rise above limited points of view and perspectives. My awareness starts to expand. Clouds of confusion start to clear away. And I see beyond obstacles. From a higher vantage point, I see myself as the divine being that I really am. And after 11 years at Unity, I'm starting to believe it. I'm still a recovering Calvinist, so, you know. There's more than one way to accomplish what I wish. I have unlimited choices to co-create my world and the liberty to choose wisely and pursue new possibilities. As I rise to a higher awareness, my perspective gives me clear direction. And so, my talk today is basically about releasing, letting go, and therein making clear and healthy choices. As our daily word reading for today states, and as David embellished it with other of the insights that, and he didn't know what I was going to talk about other than the theme. I make room for the person I'm becoming through releasing, which is an important part of my spiritual practice. One of the most comforting things I've learned in my 76 years is that I am a vessel of spirit, a vessel for spirit, a vessel. That's a vessel, a container. Someday my obituary is going to list a whole bunch of stuff that I've done. Degrees that I've earned, ministries I've had a chance to serve professionally, from guiding a congregation which had split to helping the denomination recover, restore, reconfigure its financial budget and fiscal systems and policies, to monitoring how income from hundreds of millions of dollars of restricted funds could be used in ways that would be in accord with donor intent. And blah, blah, blah. What won't be listed are the times that I've listened and laughed and cried with somebody who's going through profound changes in their circumstances. Times when I've suggested some new perspective, which might provide a different approach to repeated cycles of self-defeat. To a word of concern or encouragement for someone who is standing at a crossroad. And I can only do these things because I've been blessed time and time again with gifts from Spirit that makes it possible for me to do it. Not that I always recognize these gifts right away. Not that I grasp them eagerly when I'm in a dark night of the soul. But I've come finally to embrace the words of Rumi, that 13th century Sufi mystic, who said in essence, you are the seeker. You are the goal, G-O-A-L. You are the goal. You are the seeking itself. You're all of it. Now, change is inevitable. And growth is a choice. It's been said that every 10 years, most of our body replaces itself. It takes a little bit longer for our bones to reincarnate. And apparently there are a few brain cells which do not replicate. Now, helpful brain cells, I think. There are some that I'm glad they don't replicate, though. That's true. But otherwise, my body has essentially recycled, reincarnated 7 times so far. And I'm more than halfway into the 8th time. Results to be determined later. And I get to choose whether or not I will seek to evolve through these transformations. Now, I came across a quote a few years ago by Brianna Weist. She's a woman under 30 who writes about emotional intelligence, mental health, and wellness. She's written 9 books. Age 30, she's written 9 books, 3 of which are international bestsellers. You might have heard of a couple of them. 101 Essays That Will Change the Way You Think, or The Mountain Is You. And I predict she'll be speaking to a lot of today's rising generation. Here's what she says. Sometimes you get what you want. Other times you get a lesson in patience, timing, alignment, empathy, compassion, faith, perseverance. My eyes start to roll. She's got 18 of them. It sounds like one of those times when you think, oh, great, another further opportunity for growth. Here we go again. But then when I consider the alternatives, door number 1, door number 2, door number 3, here's where it fits. Door number 1 is a further opportunity to stagnate. Another door is further opportunity to grow. Another door is further opportunity to wilt. And so when I consider the alternatives, a further opportunity to grow, doesn't really seem that bad after all. So, other times you get a lesson in patience, in timing, alignment, empathy, compassion, faith, perseverance, resilience, humility, trust, meaning, awareness, resistance, purpose, clarity, grief, beauty and life. Either way, you win. And by the way, I've left some copies of this quote out by the coffee and the goodies right next to Claudia's recipe for banana bars, which we have some more today because you liked them a few weeks ago. Each lesson that Weiss lists, all 18, are worth a time individually of reflection and meditation. You get what you want, you get a lesson. Either way, you win. My thoughts this morning are all built upon Pam's wonderful series for us this year about spiritual embodiment. We are the seeker. We are the goal. We are the seeking itself. As Pam mentioned last Sunday when she spoke of Viktor Frankl, Holocaust survivor, the author of Man's Search for Meaning, which I got to read in college, when after all those souls suffered at the hands of the Nazis, he proclaimed, "They can't take our choices away. Nothing, absolutely nothing, today, tomorrow, or any other time, can take your choices away." And that's all I got to say today. Just some, hopefully, some good news and lots of promise.